Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. And yeah, it's been quite a morning, hasn't it? The big smile's coming from you, Ryan. What's going on?
Well, I'm quite happy because we're almost through the show. It has been quite a show full of numbers and news and tracking the oil prices. We started a show with oil prices in negative territory. And then now I'm looking at May contracts and it's now up by $1 in the green. So
it's interesting.
What a ride.
Because about 40 minutes ago, at the top of 8 o'clock, at the top of Asian markets opening, it was negative 3.
Mm. Yeah.
So now it's up in positive territory.
Yeah, so
wow.
Huge swings, of course. So you have to remember these are the May contracts which expire today. So quite a slew of reasons why it's reacting this way.
But otherwise Brent, and we're looking at June delivery, isn't responding the same way. So I know this has been big headlines, the May contract, but it isn't representative of the oil market overall.
But there is a story to tell, and that is people are running out of space to store oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So that is going to be a part of the conversation we have with Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How are you doing at home these days?
Good morning, Ryan. Being kept very busy with two very young kids.
Yeah, it's always tough to work from home with kids in the background, Vasu. Hey, Vasu,
indeed,
help us
indeed.
To walk through what is happening with oil prices. How do things go into negative? We've heard negative interest rates in recent years, and now oil is negative. What's going on?
Well, you know, that applies mainly to the May contract. I mean, essentially due for delivery soon. And, you know, I think sellers essentially have nowhere to store the oil, right? And so, you know, I think the lack of storage space, the fact that demand has collapsed and there's a supply glut has resulted in this very unusual phenomenon. But it's a sign of the times, Ryan. I mean, imagine OPEC Plus has cut output by almost 11 million barrels a day. I mean, in the past, 1 million, 2 million barrels a day cut would send prices skyrocketing. Even after 11 million barrel cut, you see oil prices plummeting, and that's because there's been huge demand destruction because of COVID-19.
That's right.
And there are various estimates. I mean, some people think it's 20, 30 billion barrels of oil glut in the market still, which means, you know, OPEC Plus has to do a lot more, but it's not something easy to do, and I think it's just reflective of how severe and serious this COVID-19 saga is.
Yeah, so if you look at oil prices, Vasu, how serious are things looking? Where do they go from here? And is this something to worry about because banks are exposed to lending in the oil sector and there are jobs in the oil sector as well?
Well, you know, the oil sector is an integral part of the economy. In the US, for example, you know, the shale oil and gas industry, you know, creates lots of jobs, and which is why Donald Trump is very worried about oil prices, which is why he helped broker a deal with Russia and Saudi Arabia. So the oil industry employs a lot of workers. They are supporting industries that support the oil industry. They also employ workers. So it will result in job losses if prices remain low for a long time. I mean, so yes, clearly the banks have exposure. I'm not sure what the exposure levels are, and the banks will, you know, perhaps shed light. But, you know, there'll be a knock-on effect on various industries. And it's not just oil. I mean, various other parts of the economy are also taking a hit from COVID-19.
Yeah, you mentioned, Vasu, the OPEC Plus cuts coming online sometime in May. Is that enough, you think, to give support for oil? Do you see, what is your current target right now for oil to be trading at in the next quarter or for the rest of the year?
Well, we don't have a forecast for the next quarter. So, I mean, basically, things are changing so quickly these days that forecasts become outdated within, you know, days and even weeks, Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, so not a great deal of conviction. But my view is that essentially the 11 million barrel per day cut from OPEC Plus, right, OPEC plus Russia, plus, you know, even the U.S. Oil industry jumping onto the bandwagon may not be sufficient because the demand destruction from OPEC, from COVID-19 is very, very severe. We're talking about a complete shutdown in economies. So demand has collapsed. And so there's still a lot of glut out there in the market. I mean, otherwise, prices would have gone up significantly. But since that deal was announced, prices have not rocketed. I mean, in fact, they've continued to fall.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of I guess a lot hinging on what's going to happen on the COVID-19 front, if that will allow economies to reopen at some stage. We are chatting with Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, turning our attention to earnings. We now have it pretty much underway with IBM, the latest overnight to release it. Wasn't too great. We saw sales down by 3%. And one of the, I guess, storylines is around how companies are being more cautious, pushing off their IT projects, pushing off major changes to their business. What's your reading on where earnings will be in this quarter versus last quarter?
Well, the earnings are going to be dismal, Ryan. I think last when I look, I think S&P 500 earnings projected to decline, I think something like about 15%, you know, in the first quarter of this year. Essentially, that's the worst performance we've had since the third quarter of 2009. So I think earnings will not be the silver lining in this saga. You know, the key thing is not just about earnings numbers. I think it's a given that the earnings numbers are going to be bad. It's really what the corporate CEOs say about the outlook, what they, you know, say about what they're trying to do to navigate the COVID-19 crisis, how they are impacted. So it's going to be the verbatim that I think is more important than just purely the numbers. And I think this week you've got a large number of S&P 500 companies announcing results. I think one of the largest since the earnings season kicked off. And so, you know, the markets will be very nervous watching and waiting to see what comes out, not just from the numbers, but from what the CEOs say.
Yeah, a lot around the commentary, especially, I guess, what's the plan B if things don't turn around in time? Vasu, looking at the earnings, right, has this been priced in, all the bad news into the markets? Is this something you think markets have sufficiently priced into the markets, and do you see any buying opportunities right now?
Well, you know, Ryan, I think the markets have probably priced in a dismal earnings performance for the first quarter, perhaps even the second quarter. But, you know, the rally that we saw recently that took global equity prices up by 25%, U.S. stocks up by almost 30%, that was really on the back of optimism that perhaps this saga will come to pass fairly soon. You know, that hopefully the infection numbers are starting to show improvement. You know, hopefully a vaccine is going to be found or treatment is going to be found. So that optimism has driven prices higher. But if COVID-19 drags out, and in all honesty, no one knows the answer, not even the health experts, how long this will last. If it drags out beyond 6 to 9 months, you know, then I think that's not priced in. That is not priced in. What's been priced in is perhaps 3 to 6 months of fallout. Beyond that, it's not fully priced in. And so it calls for some degree of caution from investors.
Okay, so some degree of caution, especially if you are thinking about buying something in the markets right now. We've been chatting with Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you so much for your time. Always great having you on the line.
Thank you very much, and stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, stay safe, Vasu.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.